High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is our absolute pleasure and privilege to have on the line Colonel Richard Kemp, all the way from the UK. Colonel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Colonel. Thank you so much for your time. I just want to start off by asking you, we saw an article on JNS, which is the Jewish News Syndicate website, speaking about what you've mentioned, that the potential of civil war breaking out in the UK and how Iran has played a part in that. Now, it has been no state secret that the UK has been a little bit of a turbulent place in the world at the moment. Can you maybe unpack for us as to why you feel that is the case?
Well, I think the reality is that there is increasing anger, I would say, in the UK about the extent of jihadist activity over here. And by jihadist activity, I don't just mean terrorist attacks. I also mean some of the other things that have been going on, including the very large-scale, almost industrial-scale rape gangs. Right. And I think many British people feel that their country is being taken away from them. Unfortunately, many believe they don't really have a political solution to this, because I suspect that no mainstream British politician is going to really redress the balance and deal with the problem that exists today. And that includes, of course, very large-scale immigration, including from countries that have a large amount of jihadist activity in them. And so my fear is, and it's a real fear, is that some people over here might decide to take things into their own hands, and that could lead to widespread violence between the indigenous population, some of the immigrants, and the government.
So I just wanted to ask, what's Tehran's role in all of this? How is Iran's fingerprints involved here?
Well, Iran is a big part of the jihadist problem in the UK. We have had for many years, I don't know exactly when it began, but there have been Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and Hezbollah. And sometimes, a few years ago, it was uncovered that they were attempting to set up a bomb factory in London, which was prevented from happening by British security services, I have to say, with the intelligence assistance of Israel.
Interesting.
And that's just one example of the assault by the IRGC and some of their other proxies on the British people. And they've been behind, Iran that is, have been behind a great deal of the aggression that have been suffered by the Jewish community in the UK. So Iran, there are other players as well in this whole problem, but Iran is, I think, a significant one.
So I wanted to ask you, Colonel, you know, it's no secret that next month there should be a new Prime Minister of the UK. Should we expect any change in policy, any change in action from the government? Is anything going to change in this regard, or is it just going to be much of the same?
I think it'll be the same, possibly even worse. I don't know what his plans are, but successive governments have failed to address this problem, which is becoming increasingly difficult inside the UK. And the reality is that to stop this deterioration, radical action is needed from the government, and no politician, no political leader that I know of, including potentially the new Prime Minister Andy Burnham, would be prepared to take the action that would be necessary because of the huge problems that will occur as a result of that. So, you know, it's always been the case. They understand the problem. They want to kick it down the road and let the next person deal with it in 4 years' time.
So, Colonel, you know, you mentioned in your article that the UK is heading for civil war. What does that actually mean? What does a civil war look like in that respect?
I think the most I'm not talking about the potential for a kind of American civil war
with two uniformed armies
facing each other.
Yeah,
I think that's what most people think of when they think of civil
war.
I think in this case we're talking to something more akin to the 30-year conflict we had in Northern Ireland, where you've got basically three sides. You had the Republicans, those who wanted to break Northern Ireland away from the UK. You had the Loyalists, those who wanted Northern Ireland to stay part of the UK. And you had then the British government, including the security forces. And there was essentially a three-way conflict. I can see something not dissimilar to that. I can see, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope it doesn't happen. But I can see the UK descending on a pretty large scale into that kind of conflict.
So, Colonel, if I had to ask you to, if you were, you know, in a fictitious scenario, you had to run for PM, and you, they are putting on your hat and you're campaigning, what are the one or two or three key points that you would suggest the government need to, you know, action in order to change things and put Britain on a different path?
Well, I believe the first thing probably is to close the UK from immigration from problematic countries, from countries that have widespread jihad. And we've got a lot of people coming in from those countries who they may in some cases want to get away from the difficulties faced in their own country, but in some of those people want to create the same difficulties here. So immigration from those places would need to be stopped altogether, right, or very carefully controlled. And the second thing I think that needs to happen is that those people who are here in Britain illegally need to be deported. And that rarely happens. It's very, very rare. And then I suppose the third thing is to take whatever action is necessary to restore the position of the indigenous British people who feel that they've been downgraded. They've had their standing in the society in many cases undermined. Now, I'm not saying that they're right in that. They may not be, but that's the perception among many people in the UK today.
Well, Colonel, it's always a pleasure and privilege to be talking to you and having you on our station. So thank you very, very much for your time. And, you know, we always look forward to speaking to you and getting your knowledge and expertise.